This episode of Drawing Heat is brought to you by WrestleMerch Printing.
For all the great quality AS Color tees that your fans deserve, check out WrestleMerch Printing on Facebook and you can get the fantastic deals that he offers specifically for listeners to Wrestle Radio Australia. That, again, is WrestleMerch Printing on Facebook, and tell them that Drawing Heat sent you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Drawing Heat, and the time is now! Hit the music!
Haha, you're very funny, fat boy.
I think it's nice of you to call Beige a Disney queen.
These two are definitely not dumb.
And now, here are your hosts, Beej and the Dude.
You are listening to Drawing Heat. I am the Beej. Sitting right opposite me, this young beady duded fella, is the Dude. Hello, Dude!
Hello, Beach. What's going on, brother?
Oh, yeah!
Alright, back to normal voices
back
now.
Back to normal voices now, because we've been recording for the last couple of hours, and my throat's getting a bit sore.
That's okay. Why are we here today? We're doing an intro.
We're doing an intro for our episode with Generation Zero that we recorded the other day at EPW Gold Rush.
Yep, we were very lucky to have all four members of Generation Zero present, the Don, Michael Morleone, Hayden Zenith, current EPW Tag Team Champions.
Yes, as well as Allison Cruz and the big rig, Scotty Ryan. The biggest volume of guests that we've had on a podcast before. We've never had four people in there.
Only on some of our pre-shows we did, but not as a full-blown sit-down.
No, we never had four. Biggest we had was three.
Was it three?
Yeah, we had Michelle, TK, and Julian Ward.
Ah, that's right. See, like I said before, I can lift heavy things, but I don't count too good.
Yes. So, look, this was a great chat we had. We weren't using our new good recording gear because we don't have six microphone inputs on this mixer, so we were using our old gimmick for recording it. So there is a bit of background noise there. It's still good quality, though. It's fantastic stuff.
Yeah, this is a good quality mic, so you can't complain too bad.
Exactly. It was a really good interview up until the point where Hayden kind of takes over and it goes all over the place from
then
there.
It became an even better interview.
Yes, but it was still went all over the place.
Yeah, that's cool, though. These guys have some tremendous characters. They are tremendous characters.
They are indeed.
In and out of the ring. A lot of great stories to be had. Hopefully we got through some of the entertaining ones so you guys will find top notch.
Yeah. And stay tuned after the interview because we're going to have some more details for you on a fantastic offer made available to our listeners from Hayden Zenith. We will let you know when that is going to be available.
Yeah, so kick back, relax, crack a tinny, crack a sports drink, make yourself a smoothie. Who cares? Yeah.
Have a Whopper Junior or some of that sweet, sweet Hungry Jack's love with the double Whopper with everything.
Gotta love the Hungry Jack's.
Oh, yeah.
Either way. Relax, sit back, enjoy Generation Zero.
You're the actual fucking journalist. He's just like
he's tech
shit.
Guy.
Yeah.
He's like Cisco.
He's
my
more Barry Sisters, I'm Heenan. That's how it works.
Okay.
Yeah. Heenan.
Professional stroke.
Pretty much. Yeah. Dead throat cancer. No.
Yeah.
Too soon.
Fuck.
What a great way to start
next
the podcast.
Shit.
All right. Sitting here with the EPW Tag Team Champions and the other members as well, yeah.
The other members, that's all you put them down to?
Oh, just let me do the introduction first, Doc.
Don't start already. It's over.
Generation Zero are here with us. The Don, Michael Morleone. Hello, sir.
How you going?
Thanks. We also have Hayden Zenith here with us as well.
The king of Flipstar.
I'm not going to be talking until I get my fruit, protein bars, and my $1,000 that you guys promised me.
You said
that I'll get. Well, I'm giving you guys a bit of a cut, all right?
Discount. We get double discount day. Slide again.
Which is a surprise because he's here. So.
Oh, fuck. Everyone's a caveat. We've got to kick the beach out.
Yeah. Scotty Ryan is here. Well, hello, buddy.
Hello. I'm just doing this out of the kindness of my own heart, unlike Hayden.
Yeah.
Oh, selfish one.
That's how are you?
Someone's going to make money.
Very good, very good.
We called him Buddy twice and he's missed it.
He's
God damn it.
I'm good guy.
God damn it.
I'm a good dude.
We'll get to that.
And we got the rose between the three thorns, Alison Cruz. How are you doing, Alison?
Howdy, how are we?
Doing good. The latest member of Gen Zero.
Yes, yes.
Right. Yep.
Just called us all a bunch of thorns. We came here trying to, you know, be a part of the podcast and be cool, and you guys just keep throwing shade at us. I don't know what you want.
Like, we're nice people now. Why
yeah,
are you
I know.
So mean?
Now. I know.
What do you mean so mean?
Don, no. Don's got to be nice to us because you guys are baby face now. It's great.
What's a baby face?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm still trying to figure that out.
Oh, God. See this face? Ain't no baby got this much tan.
This has gone straight out the window.
It's gone straight out the window already, yeah.
What did you expect?
Not a lot.
Oh, I would expect you to maybe talk up a little
shade.
Bit.
All of the shade. But getting it out of the way. It's all right. It's good.
Funny worry.
Oh, God. All right. Gen Zero, yes. What were the circumstances surrounding you and Don, Hayden and Don, I should say, because no one can see who I'm pointing at,
yeah,
getting together after a singles career for both of you? What happened?
Well, basically, I could see the... What's the word? The magnificence. The pure, raw energy and yep. just the ability of this young man being wasted. No one was leading him. He was in teams with some wannabe Hollywood guys, and then he was in teams with... Who was the other guy you were taking
All right,
before?
Some blonde douchebag.
Yeah, I don't even know who he is anymore. He's not even here. But and then he was doing this thing on his own, and being from a guy who's come from many teams, I know what it takes to bring people together and bring the best out of them. So, and I don't know if you guys were around at the time, we had a match, and I had to convince him that I was on his side. I laid down. I laid down and said, look, I'm on your team. I'm going to give you this win because this is what you need at this point in your career. But you got to believe in me. I'm going to take you in the right path. And that's what he did. And that's where we went from there. And he believed in me because I believed in him. And our record, so to speak, speak for itself.
I think so. Two-time EPW Tag Team Champions. We pretty much saved the tag division in EPW. Before we came along, I mean, who were the tag teams?
I don't know.
Yeah. Mick someone.
Mick, yeah. Mick Cheeseburger.
Mick Cheeseburger. And,
I used to team with that blonde.
Mega Mac.
Oh, you did? Yeah. That's correct. Yes.
You know the pain.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, I love that douchebag.
Yeah.
I mean, he was all right. Yeah. We ragged on him a little there, but really, he's okay.
He is good.
Sorry, Scotty.
We're referring to Leo Pratt there, I'm guessing, are we?
No, yes.
No.
But,
those guys could have made it as well, but Leo had other obligations. As far as I'm aware, I'm not sure what they were, but he can no longer be a part of the team. The drop kicks were cool. I dug them. Yeah. I made them look like they were, you know, sucking a wang once. It was one time me and Lukey, we just, you know, we got them good. And that's why I think Scotty liked them, you know?
You got me good. The Salt Shaker.
The Salt Shaker, that's
my parents were in the crowd.
Yeah, oh, the best.
We came for this.
Yeah.
What did you expect?
Come for the wrestling, stay for the Salt Shaker.
That's
right?
It. Shake it like a Salt Shaker.
Because I think, I mean, Scotty was the next one to join the team. You did have a bit of a solo run there for a bit. We had Ultimo Rigo in there.
Yes.
Which I personally loved.
Yeah. Just to be different, you know?
Yeah, and then it was January last year?
Yeah, January.
January, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, TLC.
And the three of you, you know, just had this new dynamic there. How do you feel that you being added to the team changed the whole dynamic of it?
Well, it was, you know, really good. Like, it was good to have my own singles run for a while, you know, after a split with Leo as the Dropkicks. And from the outside looking in, I saw what these guys were doing, and, you know, they saw that they were doing well, and something I wanted to be a part of, and they approached me, and, you know, having to learn from these two, you know, they're on the up and really wanted to be around them, and they came to me as well, so.
Oh, that's good then.
It's really good.
Because what's better than two?
Three.
Depends where you got two of.
Or four.
It kind of depends where you got two of. If you got like,
what's better than
two
three?
Stinky dead fish, you don't want three stinky dead fish. You know what I mean?
No, but then the power of that stink is magnified. So what's better than two stinky dead fish? Three, because it's the power.
Exactly.
The
power of the stink.
We're all about that dank stink.
Dank stink. But then what's better than three is four. And so we...
That's where Miss Cruz comes into it.
Yes.
Now, you've just spent some time over in Japan as well, training over there. How was that?
It was quite the experience.
Was it ninja school?
Pretty much. So I was training with what's called Budo. So it is essentially mixed martial arts. So I stepped away from pro wrestling for a little while, but it was awesome and I learned so much over there. So it'll be interesting to see how I can work that into some wrestling.
He was trying to convince me that you were ninja training over there, and I was so adamant that you weren't, and now I owe him $20.
Well, thank
you
very
God damn it.
So you can pay him $20, but you can't pay us $1,000.
No, every time he gets something wrong, he'll add up more 20s, more 20s, more 20s, and I'll finally have you cut in about 6 months.
Oh, wicked. As long as we get it.
He gets a lot of shit wrong.
Yeah, okay. Anyway. Trying to pull things back on track here.
Trying. All right.
Yeah.
Now, I've got to ask you guys a question about Gold Rush last year, where you won the tag titles from McMassive.
McCheeseburger.
Yeah. Cheesies.
Yes.
You guys go into that with big heels, but the type of heels that everybody kind of loved to hate, though. So at the end of that match, you got a massive pop from the crowd, man. What do you think of that, and how did that sit with you guys?
Well, they can react however they want. We're just trying to get the job done. You know, when we got together, our whole like purpose was to get rid of any of the stink that's in the tag division and to be the thing, you know what I mean? Mm. So then when it came to Gold Rush, we finally got that opportunity where there were no distractions, nothing like that. And I guess the people were maybe getting into us during that build-up, but to be honest, the fans, they can react however they want. We're just going out there doing our thing. It's up to them on how they feel. You know, it doesn't really affect us.
When something's exciting, doesn't matter about people's personal opinion of things. If it's exciting, they're drawn to it. And that's the thing about wrestling, is no matter what you might think about a certain wrestler or a certain team, when something really exciting happens, you don't think about it, you react. So guys like Hayden and myself, things we do are exciting, they draw people in. So when something happens, it's like a reaction. It's not a, and that's why we're good at what we do. We create that reaction. And when we beat McMassive, well, it's because we're the better team. And, you know, at the end of the day, people saw the better team and won, so they got excited.
I think the McMassive, we're starting to get a bit stale in the fans' eyes as well, I think. I mean, so that when you guys won the Money in the Bank to get that title shot, the crowd went through the roof when you guys won. And I, from the word I heard, the people at the back thought the eventual finish had been changed. So who knows? Now, you spent some time travelling overseas recently as well, Hayden.
Yeah.
Over in Thailand.
Yeah.
Tell us about that. You're working with a couple of different feds over there, and you've got some more travel coming up as well, don't you?
Yeah, that's right. So at some point this year, I'll be going to India for Russell Square.
Very good.
Very good.
They
had a show 2 months ago that drew 5,000, so like they do pretty big shows. I was meant to
like
be
5 billion people in India.
We had a show the other week that drew a couple of thousand as well.
No, we didn't.
And then I was meant to go there in Feb, but just life kind of gets in the way, so it's probably going to be somewhere to the later point of this year, if not June, closer to the end of the year for their big show. It's pretty cool. And then Thailand was pretty cool. I wrestled for the Kingdom Wrestling Federation and Wrestle Square, so it's like the India company and the Thailand company kind of came together and put on like a 2-night deal. But I did 3 shows while I was over there. So on the first night, which was a Wednesday, I won the KWF belt in a really weird kind of stipulation match. Funny things that happen when you're wrestling. It was a fatal 4-way for 2 titles, and it was like pretty much a pole match, except the pole was a really huge ring post. And then, so that's how I won the KWF championship. Really random. It's pretty funny, but at the time I was, you know, I had other thoughts, but, you know, in hindsight, I actually, you know, it was pretty funny. And then I did a 2-show deal a couple of days later. I wrestled on the first night a guy from China, And his name was The Slam, and everyone kind of describes him as the Chinese Goldberg, except he's 5'2" and has no muscle. It's funny because he didn't speak any English, so already like it was kind of weird, like just basic communication with him was really, really, really odd. He based his whole gimmick off WCW video game, I think WCW versus NWO in the 64. Is there at the start something where like Goldberg becomes like a robot or something like that, or is that another?
That's a different one.
So it's an intro in one of the WCW games, and like Goldberg turns into like a Terminator or something like that. Well, he based his whole gimmick off that particular clip. Of this video game. Fucking weird.
Wow.
But it's really, really fucking funny. So.
Was he playing it for laughs or is he dead serious?
Oh, he's dead serious. And it's funny because, like, you know, and the guys over at MKW are all really, really nice people. But the Chinese guys, like, from there, they have a really different way of, like, looking at wrestling because it's a new thing over there. So they're like, you know, the Southeast Asia scene is kind of booming at the moment, but it's all very new. It's only over the last 2-3 years where it's really started to pick up some steam. There's no one that's formally trained them from the start, so they've all got their own kind of ways of things that should be done. Like, there was one guy who was watching 2K17 video of like different moves, and they were picking up what moves they wanted to do from the game to do that night. Really, really, really fucking weird, really funny, but that's how they learn, I guess, and maybe that's how some of the guys here learnt in the start.
Not me.
Not you.
No, but there's definitely some... Definitely
no, like, some early guys... Early, like, you know, when wrestling wasn't really a big thing in Australia, no one could get trained.
When there was nowhere to go, there would have been plenty of people that, starting like, with their yarding stuff and just, like...
Sourcing their information from wherever the fuck.
Where did you get your start, Don?
EPW. I basically went to a World Wrestling All-Stars.
Yes.
The one that had Nathan Jones versus Scott Steiner, I think.
Oh, was it that show?
Yeah.
When was that?
Oh, years ago, man. Like 2002, maybe, or something.
Something like that, yeah.
But I remember because I was cheering Scott Steiner because I had no idea who Nathan Jones was, and I was a huge Scott Steiner mark. Big Papa Pump was my hookup.
Have you cut that 33 and 3rd promo yet?
No, because that was a TNA thing, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I think it was.
Yeah,
it's all about Samoa Joe. The 33 and a third promo.
Fuck, that's so funny.
So good.
Yeah, so good.
But I saw that, and there was a bunch of guys wearing ECW shirts at the time because EPW Coastal originally was called Explosive Coastal Wrestling, which is the homage that the Coastal Championship pays to.
Yes.
Didn't know that. I'm just, you know.
No, I did.
Captain information here. I saw that, went straight on the internet and found message boards, and I was like, yeah, wrestling. I think I was like 15 at the time. And then found out a friend of mine had actually been going to a few of their shows when it was in Wanneroo at the Civic Centre.
Yep.
And then they were also holding him at the Margaret Cochran Pavilion. Then so I went along to that one, and halfway through the show they were like, sign up at the canteen for professional wrestling training. And I was already there. As soon as it came out of the mouth, I was like, straight to the thing, signing up, signed my name. I was like 16 and a half maybe. And then it had to be 17, and no one was going to get me there, and I hated public transport, so I had to wait until I got my license. So as soon as I got my license, went down to the factory in Mannington, started training under the tutelage of one FN Carnage and Jamie Dura. They were the main trainers at the time, and Jamie Dura liked to kick the shit out of people a lot, often. And then, also, they would tie a weight belt around your waist, and then attached to that weight belt was the rope, and attached to that rope was the tire. And you had to run around this block with that tyre attached to you if you ever did anything wrong.
So how many times did you do the block run?
We've just noticed Cardi walk past and start giggling just
at that story.
That was the treatment if you were late, weren't you?
No, the treatment... Okay, there was one time if you were late... It was different treatments for that, like if you're late or if you... like punishments, like you do running and stuff. If you're last one to get in, you had to like do the punishments and stuff. But there was one time I came to training late on a Saturday because I was working. Training started at 10, I finished work at 10, I drove straight there, I got there in like 20 minutes, broke the speed limit and stuff. And then I got there and my trainer at the time, Jamie Dura, was like, Don, you're 40 minutes late. That's 10 push-ups for every minute or something or something ridiculous. So that's 400 squats. That's 400 squats. You have to do 400 squats or you're not training. And I turned and looked at him, are you serious? And he said, yes. And I turned around and grabbed my bag and left. I came back another time, but I was like, I'm not doing 400 squats.
He said, Don, you're 3 days late.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. 10,000 squats. But yeah. No, it's, that was a fun story. But yeah, that was 2004, I think.
Yeah. I remember that WWA show. I was there as well. I had a bit of table from the Crowbar and Norman Smiley.
Oh, that was my favourite match. The Big Wiggle.
How good was that?
Norman Smiley. I was sitting up where he climbed up and jumped off the balcony. I was like, one or two. We were probably sitting next to each other, didn't even know.
We probably weren't near there, because that's right after that. I ran down and grabbed a bit of that table.
Oh, nice.
Was there a teenage boy heckling you next to you?
No. Yeah, no. Probably would have been him.
Yeah, that's it. That was a good show. That was good fun. There was SmackDown tours and Raw tours. Never happened back then. That was pretty much it. And yeah, that's how I found out about EPW. And it was good fun.
So Hayden, did you start off with EPW school as well? Where did you start?
So I started down south at AEW.
Oh, look out.
It didn't last long, but because, you know, I trained there once, and then the other two times I went to training, no one showed up. Other people showed up for training, but the trainers never showed up. And the only reason I went there was because I was waiting, because back then EPW was like you'd have to send in an application and then for the tryouts and stuff, and I'd heard nothing back. So I was like, well, if I go there, I'll learn how to be like a really good wrestler, and then when I'm like get accepted for the tryout, I'll be like better than everyone else, like, you know, I don't know. But my first training session there was like, excuse my French, but fucking horse shit. they didn't tell you how to do things, they just told you to do things. So it'd be like, oh, run the ropes, take a bump, blah blah blah, and you're just like doing it all.
That's not the worst words we've heard to describe them, so it's okay.
Yeah, oh well, you know. And then I got accepted for the tryout, went to the tryout, and it was like fucking killed me. It was like 2 days. Mm. Like the most
training camps.
Yeah, the most bullshit fucking good though, and I wish that was still what you had to go through to become a wrestler.
And you were a bigger boy back then, weren't you?
Fucking oath. I was 90 kilos. Like 88, 89, 90 kilos at the time. And that's when I was first trying to like lose weight. I had like a big mop on my head. I had like really long curly hair.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I was doing. So like when I rocked up for the tryout, I had a protein shake, because my nan told me that a protein shake's really good for you. It gives you energy. It just makes you fucking spew a lot. So we're like on the oval, and everyone, like, we're doing sprints, and there's Dave, and Dave's like running 100 miles an hour. I was like, I'm not going to let him beat me, you know, like, it's Dave Storm. So I'm like, I'm sprinting, I'm like keeping up with him, like, yeah, we're in front of it. That was like the first sprint. Started spewing and spewing and spewing and spewing, and then there's like this really big jack dude who had like a Hulk tattoo on his shoulder, and he was like 5 foot, but like jacked as. He comes up to me and he was like, what did you do? I was like, oh, I had a protein shake. He just looks at me and shakes his head, and he was like, big mistake. And I was like, yeah. And then the whole day it was like nauseous, and then we didn't even step into the ring on the first day. The first day it was just running and sprints. When every time we'd get to go into the ring, someone wouldn't wipe their feet, so then you'd have to do the 3K run, and then we'd come back, and then it was just, it was torture. And then the second day, I couldn't even get out of bed. I had to crawl to the shower and sit in the shower and try and, like, stretch my legs out. And then we only got, like, an hour worth of ring time, like, after. And then after the tryout, we got told that it was probably the worst tryout they've ever done because of, like, how intensive it was, because everyone kept fucking up, so we could never, like, get in the ring to do anything. Yeah, but I wish it was still like that. I like watching people suffer.
So how many people did they actually get weeded out from the class that you started on?
So there was probably about like 15 or 20 people, and everyone showed up on the second day, which they said they could have just been
saying
things. Everyone came back the second day.
Wow, that's a rarity.
Yeah, that's what they were like. That's the first time. And three or four people didn't participate, but they showed up. So, like, Eddie Bombay was there, but he hurt his ankle on the first day, and he still came back the second day and tried to do stuff, but then he had to stop. But he got accepted, and then there was... Leo was the one after, I believe. Because he started in 2009, and I started in 2008. Gavin McGavin. Yeah, he got in as well. And then that's the only, like, we're the three from our group. There's a few people that went to AAW that were in our group, but I don't know who they were. It was just, I got told. And because I know everyone there, like, I feel like I really should know, but it always frustrates me, but yeah.
That's a good one. Well, Scotty and Ali, you guys have gone through the EPW school as well.
Yeah.
How has wrestling training changed as far as when, like, Don and Hayden jumped on? Is there any more?
I jumped
any
on shortly after he did. Yeah. I think I was the next camp after or the one after that.
You did two, didn't you?
I did two. The first one I did, I was 15, and I...
Did you lie about your age?
Yes, I lied
about your age. Okay. That's cool. I'm just throwing out. I didn't think they let people in.
Yeah, I mean, like, got mum to sign the paperwork and everything. She's like, I'm not too happy about it, but I know this makes you happy.
Good on you, mum.
Yeah.
Thanks, mum. Then you come home with a busted lip. Same day.
I mean, maybe I should have. At that point, afterwards, they said, "Oh, look, we really want to take you in and everything and this and that, but you're just too young." Because even they were still worried about 16-year-olds at that time. So they said, "There'll always be another camp. Try again later." So next time I did, I waited. I think I was 17 the next time, did it. They were very happy that second time round. Took us in, and who was in that tryout? That one was Twitch and Jordan Bishop. I think they're the only ones.
Jay Bishop was in mine.
Really?
He did a few.
So that was the time I came through then, and we've been through a few facility changes since. I think this is my third training centre would be.
Yeah.
And training's changed massively. We're open more nights now.
Yep.
Have the options for more trainers, you know, more world-class trainers.
Yeah. Because I hope those other trainers are listening, because they were shit. Talking about you, Carney. Yeah. I bet you won't even listen to it. Yeah, that's right.
Tony was the one guy I wanted to impress during the tryout, because I was like, he's the biggest bully of the group. He's just got that sour face, that sour look on him. I was just like, fuck this guy. Like, he just looks like...
He's not behind you, it's okay.
I had to check. he'd always punish you if you got something wrong. Like, I remember rocking up late to training once on Monday nights. They were called Rape Dungeon Nights.
Oh. Yep, I remember the
Rape Dungeon Nights.
If you get called that, why the fuck would you show up?
It wasn't wrestling training.
No, I had to get raped to get through to wrestling. That's my pathway. So I came late once, and I went... through, shook everyone's hand, or at least I thought I did. Just
but they weren't hands, man.
Salt shakers.
And I was dead after whatever cardio we did for the half hour, whatever. And then by the end of it, kind of calls me aside. He's like, "You can give me 500 squats here and now." I was like, "What? Why just me?" Like, he's like, "You didn't shake my hand at the start. You know, do 500 squats right now." And I'm on the brink of death.
What an asshole.
Had to get him. I was truly well and raped.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
Now, after that moment, I made sure to shake everybody's hand.
See, but for me, like, all these stories are pretty terrifying because...
Yeah, it's a bit tame now.
It was less rapey when you joined up?
100%.
So that they changed...
Yeah, would hope so. They fucking hope so.
They changed the name of Rape Dungeon Night when the women's group started coming through, I think.
It's book club.
It's book club. It's book club.
Yeah. So, yeah, Ellie, you did come... You're one of the, basically, the first group of women to come through on EPW after Michelle, who'd been here for... years, in and out, but of course, how was training for you? You were like the first, you, Blair Brady, and Amity Ray, you were the first three women to come through, weren't you?
Yeah, correct. So, I think we started off at one point, we had quite a big group of seven girls, but
big intake of girls,
probably a month there, we had a really big group of us, and it was like. Pretty good session each week we'd get down, but slowly as time went on, we all dropped off. We did do a girls only show where I think we still had about six of us, and now it's just down to three and Michelle, but We got there eventually, and now we're just in training with the boys. But I think all these stories we hear about tough carny and everything, I think we avoided most of that.
Yeah, he's soft carny now. He's not really a bully anymore.
I mean, we still have our sessions where there are a few tears and whatnot, but nothing like that.
So, what was it that made you, Ellie, want to become a wrestler then? Because, you know, we hear about all the boys, you know, the guys say Hulk Hogan and everything when they were kids.
Yeah.
Was it that the same for you, or did you see...
Growing up, I was always a huge wrestling fan. Yeah. I actually used to get the pay-per-view days off and go to Michelle's house and watch the pay-per-views.
Yes.
I did go through a phase where I just stopped watching wrestling, started getting into the gym, but then I heard about the girls only class. I was like, I've got to give this a go. Like,
yeah,
I've always wanted to. Main inspiration would have been Lita, just like, you know, high flyer female taking on the guys. That was awesome to me.
I hope you don't take on the guys like Lita took on all the guys. I know you don't.
When she started out, she was better.
Yeah,
she's got the salt shaker down.
Yeah, she was got down with the salt shaker, apparently.
So does Paige as well.
Come on now, no.
See, I didn't know about that until someone pointed it out on Facebook.
Oh, really?
Well, now how can I not look at it? Fuck.
Was it Richter? Apparently he told everyone.
No, I don't even know who it was.
What are we talking about?
If you don't know, now you know.
Yeah.
Brother.
If you don't know, you don't need to know.
Let's just say Xavier Woods YouTube up, down.
Let's turn the page. Carry on. Let's just move along from there.
Good trend.
You said let's turn the page.
Segway.
Oh, he's Segway.
Segway.
That's why he's the Don, right?
Okay,
yeah. Right, yeah. Right, now, you guys done all the wrestling training, and, you know, EPW's got the reputation of teaching people the basics, so they don't get killed, don't kill anyone else. Real wrestling focused.
That's more like a life training, really. Don't get killed, don't kill anyone else.
Yeah, pretty much. That's wrestling. That's a life issue. But do you reckon, being like with the indies, as like EPW indie shows and all that sort of stuff like that, should they be teaching more character work, more promo type of deals as well, so that, you know, you guys can get yourselves and the events that are coming over, so you can take your own initiative and do like different things to put yourselves over, so they teach the promos and things?
Obviously always teaching everything, every aspect, because it's not like you can go in there, oh, give me 10 kicks, you know what I mean, and that's all. It's like, I mean, obviously I'm not trying to put down in, like, you know, taekwondo or karate or kickboxing or anything where you're doing quite a lot of kicking. It's every aspect of it you need to hone down to perfection. If you're weak in any area, then that's obviously a letdown, because you need to be... I mean, I'm not saying I'm a master of all, I'm always trying to learn, but you need to know how to talk, how to move, how to, you know, get yourself... You got to get your body in a good enough shape so that you can perform all the moves, and your brain's got to be in a good position where you can think on the ball, think forward about what you're doing next, what's coming up next. Every aspect of wrestling, and that gets covered, as far as I know, in EPW training anyway. But
how much do they cover it though? As a thing, because I mean, you guys have all got pretty decent holds on your gimmicks and characters, and promo skills are pretty good. You got the Back to the Future thing going, Hayden. Can we get a little Biff Tanner?
Now, let me turn the mic volume down.
I can't do it on command, but I'll give it to you at some point.
Gotta get in the moment.
Yeah, I'm gonna do it.
Something's gotta happen and just.
No, but what I'm trying to get is, you see a lot of guys now, they don't have a lot of promo time on the shows.
Yeah.
But you get guys like Taylor King putting up his own videos on YouTube and trying to get his character work and his things going to promote his match and himself and things like that.
People should put the time in to try and develop their characters.
Yeah, but like, if you're not creative and such, should the schools maybe be...
I think, like,
that 1 or 2 days a week.
I think for all of us, all our characters, I think that's something we've all come up with ourselves. Yeah, like, training helps us develop that character, but it really comes back to us and us having something in mind and then trying to work on that. Like, Taylor's doing a great job with all the stuff that he's doing, but no one told him that.
Yeah.
And when he goes to training, like, he makes a conceded effort that I'm going to try and work on, like, my character stuff. You know?
He's always got ideas in mind. He's always thinking and bouncing ideas back and forth, which is good to see. I mean, that's a big reason why I joined Gen Zero, is like, these two are great characters, you know, you focus on their strength and what have you, and, you know, I wanted to pick their brains as much as I could. Oh, aspect. So we're lucky in the sense that we have such great world-class trainers that you can just pick their brains and all this is.
So they do. So they just to confirm it, they do actually cover that stuff during the training.
There's a great deal to cover, like in everything. Yeah. But more often than not, you'll go out of your way and just ask, "Look, can I get your advice on this?" And this.
Okay.
It's more.
So they don't sit you down and say, "Well, if you're thinking of doing this or running through a process or anything."
No. It's basically the kind of training it is you think of your character, you figure out whatever you're going to do, and then there's been nights that I've gone to training where you won't spend the whole night, but they'll be like, you do a minute promo.
Just to get the hang of things. Like each training group seems to have a night where we sit down and take turns interviewing each other and things like that, and just helps you get an idea of what you want for a character, what you're comfortable with, what you want to push boundaries with. So each training group will have a couple of nights here and there where it's just focused on that, but then we need to go out of our way to
enhance that as
work
well.
On it, yeah.
So really it's a little bit on your back with the initiative, taking initiative before a show or something, doing like what Taylor does on his own. But
yeah, just do a little promo, throw it up there. There's no one tells you can't. Well, obviously if it's ridiculous you try it out, and then they'll turn around and go, you know, that's not good.
Yeah.
And then they don't go, oh, you have to do this, but they'll go, you know,
try this and all.
Don't go as retarded with it, or don't.
They'll never go for retard.
Never go for retard. No. As that was my next character I was going to try, Simple Jack, but so I'll leave it out anyway. But yeah, with the training they cover everything. I mean, your basic is just learn not to kill yourself. Like that's
not anyone else.
Like. Yeah, more importantly, not anyone else. You've got someone else's body in your hands, their life in your hands. You've got to make sure that at all times you're protected. I mean, you're bumps and bruises. I mean, it's a tired fucking thing, but it's
a physical activity.
It's a physical activity. It's not something you can go through and never have injuries. Just hopefully never major ones.
Yeah.
And the main thing is to teach you how to do that, and that's the first long part of it, is how to not injure yourself and others. And then once you've got that down, then you explore what can I bring to the show that's not already there, that's not stale, that's not boring, or if it works, be the most boring guy on the show. If that gets you to stand out, then that might. But it's not they don't sit you down and go, all right, you're going to be PJ McGillicuddy and you're going to do a superplex as a finish, and you know, it's not like that at all. You've got to figure out yourself, because the best. Any interview you listen to, the best characters are shades of yourself, really.
Yeah.
Whether it's... Sorry?
Just an extension of yourself, yeah.
Yeah.
The best characters are yourself turned up to 11.
Yeah. Or aspects of yourself.
Yeah.
Because for a long time, I wouldn't say that I was myself turned up to 11. I was the dick part of me turned up to 11.
Yeah.
You know absolutely. Because everyone, no matter even if you're Ned Flanders, there's still a small dickish part of Ned Flanders.
Yeah.
But he's just turning up the niceness to 11, you know?
He's never had the public dick.
Yeah, that's it. Well, there was that one time, and he went to the loony bin. But yeah. This is not a Simpsons podcast. Let's, to hell with the ding dong crap. Let's move on.
So, we were talking about promos before. I must say, one of the favourite promos I've heard for EBW was actually one that Scotty did for us for Reawakening last year, as for the Reawakening Rumble.
EPW, Reawakening 15. It is all about Generation Zero. The Don Michael Morleone going on to win the Invitational Tournament. I guarantee it. And the big rig, Scotty Ryan, is going to become the first EPW Coastal Champion in that Rumble. I'll beat off 10 men. I'll beat off 20 men. I'll beat them all off. Come one, come all.
Come one, come all. What was going through your head when you
I'll beat them
were
all
required?
You know, you've got to beat off your opponent one way or another. In this case, there were several opponents, so just got to beat them all off. You know?
I remember we were standing there.
Don had to take on an army of men.
Yeah, I beat off an army of men at one stage. So, for $3,000, I made sure I kept that money.
I remember
money in the wake. Is that for the money in the wake briefings?
No. This is the Don's Hardcore Challenge. I don't know if you guys were.
Oh yeah, obviously, that entire run was just one big long gay joke with you and Luke. It was
fantastic. What are you talking about? It was a Triforce of power. Okay, that's what it was. Nothing else.
Okay,
that was it. All right. These guys, I swear, always throwing shade, man.
She.
Damn.
Oh, fuck.
This is a question for all of you. You can answer all at once or one at a time, whatever you like.
What, one word at a time, make up the sentence as you go along if you want.
This is not Whose Line Is It Anyway, guys, alright? This...
You do look like Colin Muckery.
Oh, see what I'm talking about with the shade? Could at least put me on a Ryan Stiles, alright?
You're too short to be Ryan Stiles.
Shut your mouth.
Now, what is the best and worst advice you've ever been given in pro wrestling?
There isn't, don't
best, best advice I've ever been given in pro wrestling is
shit.
If you're not having fun, it's not worth doing.
Yeah.
That's pretty
worst
good advice.
Advice I ever had was go have a ladder match with Bobby Marshall. nothing against Bobby Marshall, but it was just it wasn't a good idea. Like the whole match.
That was
not
the one where
idea.
You nearly died, was it?
No.
No.
Of course it was. That match was full of bad ideas. Anyway, anyone else?
Yeah, I always said once it stops getting a bit fun, and if I don't get nervous before walking out, then I'd take a step back for a while until I regain that sort of feeling, to be honest. Because then I'd guess there would become a moment of complacency, which I don't think would be a very good idea, you know, to give a good performance. Best and worst advice, though.
Anyone?
I think the best advice that I've gotten is that it's everything. Really, wrestling's all about the in between. It's not about the moves. It's about everything that you do in between, and then the
storytelling.
And like, you know, the way that you present yourself and that you hold yourself from the second that you walk through that curtain to the time that you lock up to the everything. But it's not the moves. It's how you express yourself before and after. Take your time. As well, I always had a real bad problem of like going 100 miles an hour and not slowing myself down to the times that I should.
You did.
And those two things correlate with each other, and that's how, you know, by taking my time and working on my selling and stuff, it's how I kind of evened it out a little bit instead of just being 100 RPM, 1000 RPM. 100 RPM is not that impressive, is it?
I don't know.
Minute,
you look like, on a car, it's like thousands at a time.
9,000 RPM.
Will you be over 9,000?
Hey?
Will you be over 9,000?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes!
No, there you go.
Need
a warning next time.
Sorry.
Sorry, listeners, if your ears are bleeding, that was Biff Tannen.
But, I don't know. I've had a lot of really bad advice over the years. My brain's a little bit too overwhelmed.
Go train with AAW.
Oh, well, I mean, shit, okay. I've got plenty of bad advice when I was down south, but...
the deep south.
Yeah, but I don't want to talk shit.
Real deep.
I don't want to talk too much shit. Someone already did that on the last podcast. Yeah, they got it all for me.
We don't need to be talking too much shit.
Yeah, but
no.
Shit talking equals ratings.
No, it doesn't. What about you, Alec?
That's a tough one, obviously, because I still feel like I'm learning so much. So all advice is kind of good advice to me at the moment.
That's a dangerous thought,
isn't it? Somewhat. Still learning what's good and what's bad, but... I think what I've been working on is kind of like what Don was saying with training. You've just got to get out there and get your wrestling good first and then chip away at the rest.
Do you know what? I think that's the biggest mistake a lot of people make when they first start wrestling. Like, there's a lad that's in Perth. I won't name him, but he has a million ideas of every gimmick and what he's going to do when he debuts. I'm going to wrestle with this person. I'm going to be tag team with this person, blah, blah, blah. It's like, mate, learn how to wrestle first, and then once you know... how to, like, you know, do things safely, how to present and hold yourself, then you can start worrying about all that extra stuff, you know. This character works the seasoning, but you got to learn how to cook first.
Nice analogy.
Yeah,
Got to have the steak before you get the scissors on.
Now I'm hungry.
I am hungry.
I'm hungry.
Better advice, just don't go to Sizzler.
Sizzler's good, man. Shit, $30 for like a buffet. That's some crazy shit. That's good, man.
Yeah, what's in the
I take
buffet?
My containers. I stock up on my salad and my potato. I get like a week's worth of grocery shopping out of my Sizzler's trip. Salabar's the shit.
Okay.
Right, yeah. You like Sizzler.
Oh, I haven't been to Sizzler for a while.
It shows.
That's because only like probably one of them left or something.
Yeah. One of them closed down, do you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Losing money. People taking containers and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonder who. No, well, not me.
No, of course not you.
Jesus.
Someone slammed the door.
Yeah, Jesus.
Anyway.
Scotty, best and worst advice, man. Land it on the line.
What, you know, it's so like original, but it's always like stuck by is like, don't be shit.
Yes.
Yeah.
DBS.
Always.
It's more of a motto around here, isn't it?
Don't be shit.
That falls in both categories.
It just,
best
just
and worst.
Embed it in your brain before you walk out, while you're in there, and once you leave, you know, just don't be shit.
In any aspect of life.
That's it.
It's more so than wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Let me just have a look at my notes here. I haven't got my glasses. I should have zoomed it in. How?
She blind. Come on, Poindexter.
Shut up.
Do you want to read it out for
Dexter's
you?
Dexter's Laboratory. Yeah. That was a
Let's
great
have a look.
TV
Let's
show.
Have a look.
Dexter's Laboratory was a great show, wasn't
favorite.
It? I love that show.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Just have a look at the notes, Hayden. Yeah, go for your
life. All right. What's the... I want to know some... I've just got your notes. Okay. I'm going to interview you guys. All right, is that okay?
Oh, okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's
all right. Yes, so, first question is, what is your best road story?
My best road story. Wow. Probably getting pulled over by the cops after...
Oh, that's great. And then what's your favourite storyline?
Well, Back to the Future Part 2.
I would have said the one where Ross
that's
and Monica
got
back together.
I said storyline? Like, fuck. Okay, what's your favourite angle?
90 degrees.
Kurt!
90 degrees.
Yeah. Yeah. Good answer.
Dude, you beat me to it.
Who's your favourite... Okay, I'll ask you, Ali. Who is your favourite opponent?
Favourite opponent?
Yeah.
I've only had like three.
Wicked! So that makes it easy.
I'm going to go with Blair Brady.
Blair Brady. Okay. What about you, Don?
My favourite opponent?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a tough question. Because for a little while it was you, but now you're my tag partner.
Yeah, we had some wicked matches.
We
beforehand.
Sure did.
Yeah, yeah.
My favourite opponent. Oh, it's really tough because there's a lot of cool guys. I love wrestling Jared Slate because he's fucking crazy.
Yep,
like, he comes up with some mad stuff and it's always fun. Favourite opponent. Oh, man. Depends on what part of my career. I had some killer matches with Kingston a few years ago.
So, okay, we'll break it down. So, when you're in the European Union, best opponent / match?
Dan Moore and Chase Griffin.
Yep. And then what about when you were longest reigning hardcore champ?
Ah, Gorgeous Gary.
Mm-hmm.
He was awesome. Yeah.
And then how about since we started tagging?
Favorite opponent since we've started tagging? Tag aspect. Oh, Fungula. That's the tough one. Just trying to think of all the matches. Because we've had quite a lot of matches, man.
Mm-hmm. I reckon SMDK. Probably our best opponents. We probably all our matches with them, I think.
They've been outstanding. Really yeah, 100%.
Did I ask
those street fights you guys had them were insane.
Yeah. Northridge street fights.
Oh, that was so
best,
good.
But the best match was probably, not because you lost, but the one from Evolution. That was a perfect tag match, the one where they actually beat you for the titles.
Oh, okay.
Is that which one? Yeah. That match is great. Yeah, that match is great.
That was a lot of people's favourite match from that show, actually.
Yeah,
Jesus! I was looking the other
way. What's your favourite opponent?
Favourite opponent?
From when you first started, before you were in the Dropkicks.
This is actually practice for the Zenith Peak podcast.
I was going to get to that.
Sorry, man.
Coming soon, January.
Yeah.
Probably... You know, what was great was probably like my debut match at a house show.
Against Pam Riordan.
No, I'm just gazing up.
Into the distance. Julie Coulter.
At a house show against F and Carnage at the time, yeah.
Yeah.
Got absolutely squashed and killed, but it was great to get in the ring with my trainer at the time.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Did he make you do 500 squats after the match?
No, he shook my hand.
And then what about the Dropkick days?
Dropkick days with Leo, favourite opponents would probably be McMassive. I feel like we had some good matches as well that we responded to very well. So we had a lot of fun with that. Yeah.
And then what about after when you and Leo broke up?
probably Leo, to be honest.
Yeah, that match was awesome.
To you know, wrestle one of my best mates as well, and just finish that storyline off, and
send him packing. I think at the time, this is probably the best match that both of you had ever had.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I wish we could do it again. Yeah. Really, sometimes. So.
And then since being with Gen Zero,
It would have to be the. It'd have to be the Evo match, the 8-man tag, was it? Yeah.
Yeah?
Against TMDK.
That match was...
Yeah, that was awesome.
Just who we were up against, those world-class wrestlers, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
We're probably the only ones that actually, as it, like, because who else really wrestled all of the mainstays of TMDK, like... You know what I mean?
As a group.
Yeah.
Who was the fourth one in that match?
E-Man.
Emmanuel. That's right. Because that was your first APW show as well, dude, wasn't it?
It was, yes. Mm.
Shout out to E-Man. Get us booked wherever you're wrestling, faggot.
I'll ask myself the question. Hayden, you've had a pretty storied career up until this point. Who was your favourite opponent?
It's the easiest fucking podcast out there.
Well, my favourite opponent before tagging with Don was Don. My favourite match before tagging with Don was the Fatal 4-Way from Reawakening. It was when all the rookies, so it's me, Ryan, Leo and Husey. That match means...
Four lines match. Yep. Give it what's called.
Yep, and that match is probably... Next to the match we had with SMDK at the Northbridge Street Fight, that would probably be my favourite match. Thanks, Hayden. Thanks for your time. I'll give that back to you guys. Here you go.
Thanks, Hayden. Yeah, so as we did mention, the Zenith Peak podcast, when is that coming?
Pretty soon. It would sometime this year.
When is Zenith Peak coming?
Yeah. Turn the page.
That's a triple entendre, man. Like,
yes, say triple entendre. Triple entendre.
Piss off you.
Say
double entendre.
At some point this year, I get a lot of projects. I'm doing a lot of, like, I probably took on more than I could probably handle at the start of the year. I was like, yeah, fuck yeah, do a podcast, do, like, these video things, do, like, workout videos and, like, you know.
Those workout videos are sick, by the way.
Yeah, thanks, very man. Good. Podcasts are easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more like getting the time. As you guys would know, finding time with people is pretty tough.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah. At some point, soon, coming into your ear holes.
Well, okay. As you say,
Widow's Peak is coming into your ear holes.
You've been doing some workout videos. You do work as a personal trainer as well.
Yes.
And Don, you have got into great shape in the last year as well.
Rounder shape.
Yes.
You're in shape too.
Round is a shape. I'm trying to get into a smaller round shape. What's your secret?
Hard work.
Yeah,
I go to the gym, I lift weights, and I eat food.
I just go to the gym, go lift heavy weights. Well, not always heavy, sometimes light weights, but spend a couple of hours in the gym at least four days a week at the very minimum.
Yeah,
And then just make healthy choices when you eat. It's hard to be like a strict diet person. I've done it on and off over time, and It's never about, oh, you have to never eat this and never eat that. If you can do that, that's great, because you look at Marcus Pitt, I'm sure he's like a macro counter to the millimeter, but like, milligram, sorry.
I didn't even know
but
what like, macro is.
100 milliliters. But if you just basically, if you've had fast food once in a week, probably don't do it again, do you know what I mean? I'm not saying don't ever eat it, you know what I mean? But like, sometimes I'll drive past Hungry Jack's, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to eat some shit. Like, just going to do it.
You're just going to really make sure that you
hate life.
But that if you do it and you have it, then you're really going to tell yourself you're a piece of shit and that you're not going to do it again, and then you'll probably do it again in a week's time.
No. I mean, hilarious if that is.
Yeah.
That might work for some people, but no, you can't ever put yourself down, because then that leads into more bad eating, because you're like, well, that's it, I fucked it up. Yeah. I'm never going to eat healthy again. Just go, all right, you know what? I had bad tonight. Tomorrow I'm going to try and eat as well as I can. And then maybe you can do that for a couple of days, and then all of a sudden someone brings over a cake and you're like, fuck, I'm eating cake today. And it's like, and you do it. But just instead of having half the cake, just have a nice little slice. You know, it's healthy choices.
Things in moderation.
Just you go, all right, do I get the double Whopper meal or do I get a Whopper Junior meal? Fuck, go the Whopper Junior meal, man. You're still getting that sweet, sweet Hungry Jack's love, but you just aren't just getting as much of it. But sometimes you've got to go the double Whopper meal with fucking bacon and cheese and extras. Sometimes you need to learn that you eat that and you think it's great at the start, But then half an hour later, when you're sitting there with a stomach ache, feeling like you're going to spew up, you're like, yeah, maybe I should have done that. And that gets you.
And then.
And you can't, no one's a saint, and anyone that claims they are is a fuckhead.
And if you do that on a Sunday and then you training the next day, just make it a real heavy day. Like, just go try and lift as heavy as you can because you're going to have those extra calories. You want to burn it off. I should say, if anyone out there doesn't know how to exercise and needs a little bit of help, you can go to my website, HaydenZenith.com, and I sell personalised online training programs. And just because we're on the podcast today, if you use the coupon code DRAWINGHEAT, I'll give you 50% off. So there you go.
I'm logging into that shit.
And that will be available when the podcast drops. There you go. That's my gift to your listeners.
Oh, there you go.
That is tremendously generous.
Is what
generous.
You're looking for?
Generous zero.
That's right. That's fine.
Generous zero.
I can't help but notice Ali has a blue Gen Zero shirt.
Yes.
Do you have a blue Generation Zero shirt?
No. Ali's just too cool for school.
I might invite a Gen Zero
Don
shirt.
Said it was a pain in the ass to do, but...
Cause it's super. Massive pain in the ass. It looked like her gear wasn't going to be ready in time, so I tried to knock up a quick shirt in the same colour as her gear. But yeah, if you want to... See, the problem is your gear is black.
Mm.
So it would just be all black, and that would look a bit odd, I think.
Well, unless it was
I figured our gear would stand out, but we'd all wear the same sort of shirts that we can...
Okay. Yeah, but that was... I mean, we'll figure it out. By the way... If you head to www.shop105.net and click on the Get Shirty T-Shirts site, you can get your own custom T-Shirts printed.
As we did.
Our Drawing Heat T-Shirts were made by the Don. If you do notice, it's sort of peeling a bit there. I don't know.
It's not peeling, it's cracking because you've stretched it.
Yeah.
And you haven't taken care of your garments.
And your stinky man sweat's going through your titties.
That's it. If you get the image and you stretch it, it's not going to be the same, mate.
Does it look like it's stretched on me?
I mean, that's why
my shirts are in general use, like you put your arms in, you stretch the shirt out. Don't slander my products, friends.
So essentially, if you're going to put on a T-shirt, don't fucking move, all right? Just stay still. And your shirt's going to be fine. Brand new.
But yeah, you can get the
custom
shirt.
By the way, mine's fine. I don't know what his problem is.
Exactly.
I got a custom Gen Zero shirt from the Don this afternoon. It's sweet.
So there you go.
Blam! Right there.
When are we going to see Gen Zero shirts on the merch desk?
There are tonight. They were last show. Yeah. But we have to get an updated one. It's the sweet Dragon Ball Z... three-man T-shirt.
So the one that I got made, it's obsolete now.
Obviously. No, it's the same. It's the same. Same as yours, but you got the special singlet, not the T-shirt.
Oh, right.
So not everyone's got the singlet. But the T-shirts will be on sale tonight, and then we're currently working on a new shirt design that incorporates the whole team, and I'm thinking like a Street Fighter Mortal Kombat style.
Yes.
Yeah, that's going to be sick.
Very nice, very nice.
Hayden's looking for something.
What's up, Hayden?
I'm just looking at your shirt. How did it save your life?
Well,
you obviously don't listen to the podcast, do you?
No,
I do.
I listen
he
to myself.
He fully explains how pro wrestling saved his life.
On
what episode was it?
Episode 7.
Episode 7.
Of
the Drawing Heat podcast.
I'm sorry. Who was on the podcast?
I think that was before we even had guests. But back at that point, that was just us.
Oh, I see. That's when I wasn't listening.
No,
I listened to one. And I went real fucking hard. And then when you guys started interviewing guys from here, that's when I started to. Tune in right up until that point.
No, well, to answer your question, I was going through a lot of issues, personal type of issues in life. I won't go too deep into it, but it's a type of thing that really got me down. And around that sort of time, I'd kind of discovered EPW, to be honest. And between EPW and all this cool shit that's happening here and some other things like, watching wrestling
podcasting.
With this podcast and watching wrestling with this fine gentleman to my right, see, I'm not too smart.
I'm to your left, he's to your right. Yep.
Thank you, Scotty.
Got it.
I'm not smart, I just lift heavy things. But between all that type of thing, it stopped me from going down a darker road than I could have done, pretty much. So it kind of brought me out of the depths of despair and gave me something to focus on.
How good's that? That's fucking excellent.
It's good.
I mean,
I found the shirt, pro wrestling tees, I found the shirt.
I don't know what happened or like what got you in that position. A lot of people, they don't find something that helps them like take that step forward. So it's fucking awesome that you found us, found EPW and all that. So look at all the cool shit that like, this is pretty cool. How many downloads did your last podcast get?
1462 at last count.
And if you don't get more on this one, I'm murdering people.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a guarantee from
That's
Don.
A guarantee. Yeah. Download this show or Don will murder you.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to go home and just like click play 1,000 times.
Like, oh, mate.
Yeah. Maybe that's what Carl did.
We know your secret, Carl. We know. Crab, 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 crab.
Hey, you fucking leave Casey alone. Nah, fuck that. I was really upset about that.
Casey is a fucking legend. Casey loved the show. He actually said, but I don't like...
Yeah, but he probably thought it was funny. But it's not nice to pick on my best friend.
I like Casey.
I didn't like that. That made me upset.
I love Casey.
All right.
Yeah. I saw him the other week. He's doing well.
Needs to get a haircut, though.
He has got a haircut.
Oh, he has? Oh, that's how long it's been since I've seen him.
All right, shout out to Casey, man. Crabs are cool. The crustaceans are cool, crabs themselves.
Yes.
They love crabs.
This is, again, segue.
Segue.
Right, well, it's getting near showtime, so we should probably wrap this up here now, I think.
I got two questions.
Okay.
Kind of two into one question.
Okay.
For everybody, this is a serious part of the podcast.
Oh, snap.
Yes. All right. To you, what is pro wrestling and what does it mean to each of you individually?
I'm not stumped. I just don't know where to start. What's wrestling so much?
I wasn't listening. Okay, cool. So, just kidding. For me, like, wrestling's like the ultimate form of, you know, performance art. When I was younger, all I wanted to do was be Bruce Lee and a Power Ranger, and I wanted to be an actor, and I kind of get to do all three now. It's pretty cool. It's what wrestling is. Wrestling's just like the best art form there is. And, yeah, for like that 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes, it's nothing like it. Yeah.
Totally agree.
Yeah. To me, wrestling is, I want to say life, but it's not. Like, it's my thing outside of my life. Do you know what I mean? It's not life, but it is.
Yeah.
How do I phrase it? I have my life, and that's in this box here, right?
Yeah.
And then I have wrestling. And that's in this box here. Mm. And I do my life, and then every now and again I get to take myself out of that box, drop myself in another box. Mm. And then I enjoy that as that. It's
I really enjoy the box.
Yeah. Box.
You love the box.
Like being
box.
Deep in box.
Yeah. Yeah, what's in the box?
You have your family life, and then you have your wrestling family life.
That's it. It's something to take no matter what's going on anywhere else. Mm-hmm. When I'm at wrestling is paramount, and I love every second of it. The performance, the physicality,
the release,
I suppose that's, but it's just, again, like Kay was saying, you know, wanted to be an actor when I was a kid, wanted to be a fucking Power Ranger, you know, wanted to be Hulk Hogan, wanted to be Scott Snyder, you know what I mean? Wanted to be that larger than life. It gives me a chance to go, it actually makes general life easier, because in general life I can just be me, do whatever I want, maybe, you know, keep lie low kind of thing, you know, and just whatever happens, happens. But then when I'm here, I'm this huge fucking being, all eyes on me for a few minutes. It's not long, but it's enough to satisfy whatever messed up fucking part of me that has to have that attention, I suppose. You know what I mean? It saves me from posting nudes on the internet or like getting on message boards being like, oh, I fucking know all about this, and oh, I'm fucking the smartest about that, you know. It's like I just get to have my little 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 10 minutes of fame. And it's great. Fantastic.
I think for me, I'm a person that thrives off personal development, so much like a lot of people, pro wrestling found me when I was feeling a bit stuck, didn't know where to go, and it's just helped me grow as a person, not to mention the great family that you build in the process as well. Like, it really is a family around here.
Mm.
Like, everyone bitches and moans and, you know, because like a family does, but at the end of the day, we all help each other out. We're all there for each other.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just a good environment where you can still, you're constantly working on yourself. Each time I personally go out there, some of it might be shit, but then I've grown in other ways and I feel good about myself.
I'm looking at your phone cover and it's fucking with me because it's like one of those optical illusion things.
If you stare at it long enough, you picture a dolphin.
No, it's like one of those little, like, things where it's a cube one way, but then you look a slightly different angle, it's poking out at you.
Dom's lost his shit right now.
Anything you got there?
Question number two.
That was kind of the two-in-one question. What is it? What does it mean? Yeah. You can answer another question if you like.
Yeah, go on. Throw us another one. We've got a little bit of time left. I've had so much fun. I don't want it to end, friends. I want another question.
How about you guys just give everybody the plugs for your own personal pages, your websites, your businesses? Let's use the time. Just plug it up.
We kind of already have.
Yeah, I have.
You got any more?
You can follow me on Instagram, big_rig_Rysco, RYSCO.
Yeah. You can find me on the Instagrams. I like the Instagrams. For all those listening right now, if you just have a quick look, you'll be able to see I'm on my phone. And I put a lot of really cool stuff up on there, like matches and hot sauce and lifting weights.
Pretty good few highlight packages.
Yeah, I try and stay pretty active on my Instagram, which is Hayden_Zenith_official, because you know there's a lot of fake fucking Hayden Zenith Instagrams out there, so I had to make it official. Otherwise, HaydenZenith.com. You can buy merchandise or you can buy a fitness program, 50% off, customized, fully to whatever the fuck you want to do with yourself. Sure. Yep, I'll fucking help you. I'm the man.
Sweet.
Alright, no websites for me, it's just Alison, AlisonCruz_EPW on Instagram.
You had to check that out.
I did, because I was going to say EPW first.
Don Morleone on Facebook, Generation Zero on Facebook. I've got Instagram, but it's my personal one, so stay the fuck away from me. And I also had Twitter a long time ago, Don Morleone. I never use it, but it's linked to my Facebook, so I think it's still active, I'm guessing.
Mine's the same. I went on my Twitter for the first time in like a year, and I had like all these like reactions and shit. Like, I don't know how people, they burn your tweet or whatever.
Retweet or whatever. But I can't even log in. I forgot my password for it.
They burned your tweet.
It's doing it to I think I've got Snapchat, but I don't even know how to use it.
I don't even know what Snapchat is.
I'm
too old for Snapchat.
I stopped using Snapchat in 2014. That's when it was cool, but it was just taking a photo.
Snappies.
And Snapchat looks cool now. You can make yourself vomit rainbows and you can look like a dog.
There's a lot of that going around, the dog thing and the garland of flowers around your head. Big buggy eyes.
Big buggy eyes. I thought, the face swap's pretty cool. I thought, you know, that's...
Face swap. You seen the Thomas the Tank Engine one with that kid?
That's
amazing. So good.
Yeah. All right, well, let's wrap up. Let's get one for the Drawing Heat page for the Instagrams here.
Photography.
The Drawing Heat Instagrams. 1, 2, 3. It's taking a photo.
Hold on, should get the other one.
What the shit happened? Yeah,
it's taking a... Who put on fucking video mode?
You're a gimmick boy. Stop playing with my shit. 1, 2, 3. There we go. Don's got his finger up his nose. Fantastic.
And we're back. Thank you very much to Generation Zero for that fantastic interview that we had there.
Yep, hope the folks at home enjoyed that one. It was quite an experience chatting to the Don so closely. Finally.
He was nice to us. It was a pleasant experience.
He was. He's charismatic as hell.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, he did say he was going to fave the fuck out of us for the last year or so when we were trying to tee this interview up.
Yeah, that kind of had me a little nervous. I wouldn't be lying. But no, all four of these people, man, great sports.
Yep, and just fantastic humans in general.
Yeah,
really.
That I wish I could have heard some more of that New Orleans story from Scotty Ryan. That sounded like it was more than meets the eye.
Apparently, there was more to it, which Scotty was telling me about after the show that he'd forgotten about, which just made it even better. But we'll have to wait till next time we have Scotty on the show to talk about that, I guess.
Yep. And hopefully, you dug Hayden Zenith taking over the podcast just as much as we did. that was great.
Yeah. So, as Hayden did mention there, he is making a special offer available to listeners of this podcast if you do wish to purchase an 8-week training program from him. He is giving you a 50% discount. Dude, tell him where they can find it.
All right. If you head over to HaydenZenith.com, put in the product code of Drawing Heat, no spaces. So Drawing Heat straight up, you'll get that 50% mega deal from Hayden Zenith for a plan that will knock your socks off.
Which is pretty good, because I think normally they're around about $80 or something. So that's $40 off.
Yeah, they're well worth it. Hayden Zenith is a hell of a trainer. We've seen some results from some of his clients that he's posted online. Yep. And man, this guy makes those dickheads at The Biggest Loser look like amateurs.
Yeah.
this dude is for real.
Because we're not just members, we're also a client. Is that how it works? Is that how it went? Was that the Hair Club for Men one?
I think so.
Something like that. Either way, you know, Hayden's, I mean, the dude and I both joined the gym this year. Hayden has been helping us out on there, giving us, you know, some pointers and sort of pointing us in the right direction there.
Just some tips so we don't actually, you know, burst a spleen or something.
Yeah, pretty much, you know.
Even though I got a pain in my pancreas after this last workout, but we're good.
We hit it pretty hard this afternoon, didn't we?
We did. But this alpha, courtesy of one Hayden Zenith, does go till the end of the year. So you've got, what, 9 months still?
Does it go till the end of the year?
End of the year, he informed me, yep.
Fantastic. And when does it actually start, dude?
It started now. It's up and running.
So right now.
You can get on there as soon as you finish listening to us waffle on.
Yeah. Or you could do it, you know.
Or do it during if you've got multiple devices.
You could do it now while you're listening to us. We can just keep talking and you can go do it.
Yeah, don't wait, you know. You hesitate, you masturbate, you'll be a fat bastard while you're doing it. So get on there, get fit, get healthy, get laid.
Hesitate and masturbate. You still have a decent sized arm, though.
Yeah, but only one arm.
Well, you know.
It's like Quagmire after a 3-day bender.
Well, that's why you just move over to the other arm next time.
Giggity, giggity.
Giggity, giggity, giggity,
goo. Well, apart from that, that awesome deal from Hayden Zenith, man, I really wish we had a lot of time with Alison Cruz. Hopefully we can get her back on the show to talk about her sojourn to Japan and ninja training.
Yeah, it should be a good one. Definitely. And I think we'll have to try and get these boys back because we have so much more that we wanted to talk about which we just didn't have the time for there. I think we'll have to maybe get Scotty back for his own one, get Hayden and Don back for their own one as well.
Yeah, definitely. Generation Zero kids.
Yeah, because there's so much more time to fill over the course of the year. We could easily get more people in there.
Yep, great bunch of dudes.
Yeah. But we've got some great more guests lined up coming up over the next couple of months as well. Won't give anything away. You can have some surprise beer. Some big names and not just from EPW as well. We're starting to broaden our horizons here in WA. Yep. So anyone who's coming over from interstate, if you're coming over to Perth specifically, if you are coming for EPW, makes it a hell of a lot easier for us to try and schedule an interview with you. But yeah, if you want to be on the show, hit us up. You can find us on Facebook, Drawing Heat Podcast, or on Twitter at @DrawingHeat_pod. Same applies for Instagram as well, which the dude manages and takes all the lovely photographs on there.
Yep, so all the crap on there, you can blame it on me.
Yep, totally. So yeah, check us out on there. Don't forget HaydenZenith.com with the coupon code of Drawing Heat, all one word, to get 50% off on one of those amazing custom tailored as well, we might point out.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Fitness plan. So whether you want to just get gains, whether you want to lose weight, whether you just want to shred, whatever you want to do, Hayden Zenith can help you out. He's a top bloke. He's a great PT. Check it out. HaydenZenith.com. Drawing Heat for the coupon code for 50% off till the end of the year.
I suggest you do it, people, because this could actually change your life.
It could. And
that's never a bad thing.
It could change Hayden's life with all this extra money he's getting.
All the moolah.
All the dollars. Millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. Millions of dollars.
Oh, lovely. Beach, go ahead.
No, I was going to sign off, but if you've got more to say, go for it.
Oh, I was just going to tell the kids at home, if they enjoy this episode, please leave a review on the iTunes, wherever good podcasts are listened to these days.
Yes.
If they do reviews, iHeartRadio, Stitcher.
Keep downloading it. Don't forget to download the episode with Carl and Fury so we can break... What's his name?
Jeff Jarrett. J-E-R-R...
J-E-F-F. J-A-R-R-E-T-T. We can break the record of 1,690 currently held by Josh Armour and Jeff Jarrett. Don't go downloading that one, whatever you do, because you're just going to make it fucking harder for us to beat it.
And it's old news.
It's old news and... I won't say it's not that good, because it is a pretty good interview, but download our one first, and then, or download our one twice, then go download that one, so we still get the one up on there.
No, you can't be cheating.
No, it's not cheating. But
two devices, so you can listen to it in two different spots.
If they want to listen to the Jeff Jarrett one, and they want to listen to the Carl one as well, it doesn't get us any closer to it.
That's true.
Yeah, so that's why they go download our one twice, to make up for the fact that they've also downloaded the Jeff Jarrett one.
All right, you've significantly confuse me, but that's all good.
Makes perfect sense, because I'm the Beege, he's the dude, and this is Drawing Heat, and it's not just wrestling,
it's life.
Oh, this
ladder to the top, and now I'm shitting on rappers. All I do is work, straight up hustle and grind. So many people mad at me for crossing the line. I find it kind of funny the shit you say in your tweets, but when we're face to face, you ain't got nothing to say to me.
Oh no, so fuck you, dude. You better take a step and bring the light all up the ground. You talk a lot of shit, but you spread nothing but love. You keep on running your mouth, you better open your own. Your neck.